The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Few announcements. We had circuit forum last week, and Pastor Coffigan will be the pastoral advisor, the alternate pastoral advisor, Pastor Aldisey. I don't remember the guy's name from Baxter. He will be the lay delegate, and Rich will be the alternate. And so he will go down and spend time in Phoenix if the, it's in July, if this other gentleman can go. So thank you. Tomorrow night, we have 7 o'clock, we have elders meeting. Jerry told me that Patty was picking up acorns yesterday, and she slipped, landed on her arm, and broke her arm, and they didn't set it because it's taken by that kind of surgery. We'll keep having it. Let's see. Oh, we had a good turnout on Friday afternoon for the lady that was coming to talk about the organ. And those of you who don't know yet, she put me in contact with this couple from California, and they will give $15,000 to the church once we sign the contract to buy that organ. And so we're sitting around $5,000 to $6,000 short. But Gail, when she talked to Peggy and said that she has a gentleman's agreement, she'd give us 6 months to make installments to pay it off. And so, at the board's meeting at the end of the month, and we'll decide next week. Next week we have joint church council.
I thought it was tomorrow night at 6.
Tomorrow night at 6?
That's what I thought.
Anybody else? Joint church council tomorrow night?
I thought it was before the elder meeting.
Okay.
Want to look up?
Sure. If we do, we'll have to do we'll check with the gentleman at Emmanuel. Then we do have joint meetings and we'll have to do full treatment. Well, I'll go meeting. Why don't we rise and sing our first hymn?
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent and dear sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. Be gracious to me, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving,
abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you.
Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me.
For I am poor and needy.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify
your name forever.
For great is your steadfast love toward me.
You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For to you do not cry all day.
For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving.
Abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you.
Thank you. O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us. May we continually be given to all good works through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So from the Catechism, questions 33, 34, and 35. What is the relationship between the first and the other commandments? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and therefore gladly seek to keep all his commandments. When we fear, love, and trust the other things more than God, we break all the other commandments as well. Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can anyone keep this commandment to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? No. Jesus Christ alone perfectly kept this and all of God's commandments for us and in our place. But all who have faith in him by the power of his Spirit willingly strive to obey these commandments. Ecclesiastes 7. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So how do we know there is a God? By reason, nature, and experience all testify to the existence of God. We live in a world that we did not make. All people trust in something to organize their life, seeking meaning and purpose. The universe and all of life is orderly, governed by laws, the laws of nature. Humanity shares many common moral ideas. Scientific discoveries increase life's deepest mysteries. They do not resolve them. This universal truths and observations are all best explained when we accept that God exists and is the creator of all things. They do not tell us about the gracious nature and the character of the true God. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is written in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning with verse 24. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, you also have brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodge by killing her son." And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and that it is the truth." Here endeth our Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. Nations will fear the name of the Lord.
And all the kings of the earth will fear your glory.
For the Lord builds up Zion.
It appears in his glory.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, beginning with the 13th verse of chapter 3. "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here in the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. You fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, is written in the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin. Those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us. And God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Here endeth the gospel reading.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The first Monday of the first Sunday of the month, we usually pray and confess the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 12 of your hymnal. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated as we continue with our next term.
Thank you.
The theme is God's powerful word conquers sin and death, basing it off of Luke 6, chapter 7, verse 16. God has visited his people. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, make no mistake about it. Jesus indeed felt compassion. The Greek word is splachna, on this widow from the town of Nain. And he showed her such mercy that neither she nor her son forgot it for the rest of their lives. However, as you consider that there were many more widows and mothers who had lost their sons in Israel at that time and still today, you might wonder why Jesus chose to raise this son of this widow. No doubt, Jesus loved this particular widow, but he did not perform this miracle for her sake alone, but for the sake of many people who would believe in him through it. The Holy Trinity orchestrated this event so that these two great crowds, that which followed Jesus and that which followed the bereaved widow and her dead son, met to witness this demonstration of Jesus' powerful word. And as a result, many spread the news of Jesus and many believed in him. Dear saints in Christ, and for a similar reason, the Holy Spirit caused St. Luke to record this very event so that you too might hear it and believe that Christ Jesus exercises power over sin and death through his word. It is the word of the Lord which conquers death. And you need to know how to conquer death just as much as these two crowds did. The widow in the Old Testament reading sobbed at Elijah, "You have come to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause death of my soul." And she was certainly on to something there. Death does bring remembrance of sins. This is because death is the result of sin. As St. Paul writes to the letter to the Christians in Rome, the wages of sin is death. And therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Therefore, death is the greatest visible reminder of sin. Now, if you are by nature sinful, meaning you have inherited your sinful condition from your fathers, that means that by nature you are spiritually dead. St. Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Dead. Spiritually dead. Tell me exactly, what can the dead do to help themselves? Could this young man wrapped in death cloths, his body cold and stiff, make an effort to come back to life? No. It was Jesus' decision to raise him from the dead. It was the power of Jesus' words which enlivened his soul. It was Jesus' work, not the work of the dead man. And so if you are spiritually dead, then you can only be made alive by the will and by the working of God. And that is exactly how you are given spiritual life. St. Paul writes 3 verses later, "But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So if you are spiritually dead, then you can only be saved by grace. Grace does not involve any of your works. Otherwise it would not be grace. God made you alive when you were dead. And Jesus demonstrated for all of you that he makes you dead alive through the power of his holy word. And so it is remarkable the fight that stands against the power of baptism to save. The main objection to this teaching that baptism saves is that only faith saves, and that baptism is a work. Now, if that is true, it is true that only faith saves. For Scripture says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. And it is also true that baptism is a work, but it is not your work. Baptism is God's work. So let's start from the beginning. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. You see, baptism is not just a sprinkling of water. Baptism is no ordinary bath. Neither is it just water alone. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a baptism. This is water joined with God's powerful word. What you have learned about the word of God? That God's word is powerful enough to raise the dead. Baptism is pure grace. Because in baptism, sinners are saved apart from their own works through the power of God's word. This is why St. Paul writes in the third chapter to Titus, he saved us, not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, baptism is not your work. If it were, it would only be an imperfect work with no power to save. But Scripture says that baptism saves all who believe. You know that many are offended that Lutherans baptize babies because babies can't make a decision or babies can't confess their faith. Or perhaps they're also offended that Jesus did ask this dead man if he really wanted to be raised from the dead. But babies are not less capable to receive God's grace than adults. In fact, Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Those who reject infant baptism give too much credit to physical birth. Physical birth can never give you the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus says, do not marvel that I said to you that you must be born again, or you must be born from above. Here Jesus goes even further than saying that you must be born, become like a child. He says you must be like an unborn infant, like a fetus. Yes, completely redo your birth. No, not physically, but spiritually. You have been born a totally healthy baby. But everyone enters this world as a spiritual stillborn. You are dead in your trespasses. And that is why Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so baptism is a new birth of water and the Holy Spirit, who is breathed out through the speaking of Jesus' powerful word. In baptism, you receive the birth your mother couldn't give you, one of the Spirit, which gives eternal life. In baptism, Jesus speaks, and the spiritually dead is raised. And just as Jesus then gave the young man, he rose from the dead to his mother. So Jesus places all baptized children into the care of their mother, the Holy Christian Church, who continues to nurture them with Jesus' word and sacrament. We see sin and death are inextricably joined together. You can't conquer death without conquering sin. And you can't conquer sin without conquering death. This means that when Jesus raised this young man from the dead, or whenever he raised a person from the dead, he forgave their sins. This means that baptism too is a lavish washing away of sins. And Jesus' word conquers sin and death throughout your life as well. The dead man was being carried to his tomb, where he would be locked up for as long as the earth remains. And so many who have fallen into sin, that is, into spiritual death, are carried by their sinful desires into unbelief and ultimately damnation and eternal death. And here too, Jesus' words are powerful to save. He calls such sinners to repentance, and he forgives them with the breath of his mouth before they could be laid in the tomb of death forever. The gospel gives them new life. And this is why you should never, ever give up. Those whom you love, who are caught in sin and unbelief, can be turned to faith by the power of God's word before the grave devours them forever. Jesus' words can save them. Jesus had compassion. He had splachna. And this is more than just a sad feeling like you have when you go to a funeral. Jesus actually felt her pain. Much more than that, he felt her sins, which his death reminded her of. More than that, he felt the young man's sins. And still more, he felt this young man's death. This is how God visited his people. He took on your human flesh so that he could understand and have empathy with your weakness. Although he never sinned, he felt the burden and the guilt of your sin. Although he did absolutely nothing deserving death, he experienced death. And he experienced the punishments of hell upon the cross. This is how God visits his people. This is what it means that he had compassion. Likewise, God visits his people through his word. Because that great message of God's word is that he sent his son to bear your burdens, to be punished in your place, to devour death, so that death cannot devour you. This is what Jesus' words communicate in the gospel. That is why it is so powerful, because it is true. Baptism can join you to Jesus' death and resurrection, because Jesus truly did die and did rise for you. Baptism washes away your sins, because Christ's blood provides the flood to do so. Jesus is also able to command you to live forever, because he truly sucked the poison out of the sting of death by removing your sins from you. Where there is no sin, there can be no death. Now fear seized them all. This seems strange. Why would they be afraid of Jesus, who did such a great deed? But it is not that they were terrified of some evil that Jesus would do, or frightened of a ghost or a zombie. Instead, they had been overcome with a childlike fear, because God is in their presence, and he has demonstrated his power. This inspired awe from the crowd so that no earthly father could instill on his children. With such a holy fear comes an earnest trust, childlike fear of one's father, the fear that trusts in one's father. You too should have a childlike fear of your God. After all, he has come to visit you with his most powerful word. You should be at awe at the power performed in your baptism and every time you receive the forgiveness of your sins. And you should earnestly desire to hear, to read, and to learn this powerful word. And above all, you should trust in it. When you consider what your conscience burdens you with by your wicked thoughts that you've had, let the remembrance of your baptism give you confidence that your sins are forgiven. Trust that the body and the shed blood which you receive in the sacrament will do what they were set out to do. Trust in the words of forgiveness I speak, not as coming from me, but as coming from Him, the one who commands the dead to rise and they listen. Dear saints in Christ, this is the only comfort you will find as you face death head on. When your last hour draws nigh, your sins will try to scare you into spiritual death. But godly fear, which trusts in God's word, will give you confidence. The words of Jesus will give you comfort in your death and confidence to lie down and sleep. You will awaken again as surely as Jesus has spoken. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. And all the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Lord, Father of all, we bow before you in all confidence and beg you, strengthen us by your Spirit, ground us in your love, and fill us up with what we lack out of your own abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, we thank and praise you for the ministers of your gospel who preach the unsearchable riches of your mercy. Strengthen all pastors and teachers of your word that they may boldly proclaim the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful Father, when loss and heartache invade our homes and tempt us to doubt your divine care, hear our cries and renew our faith and life in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Comforter, you gave aid to the widows of Zarephath and Nain so that they would not be left alone. Provide faithful friends and companions to our shut-ins and those who live alone, that they may be encouraged in faith toward you and in love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Todd and Rich continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named, guide our rulers aright by the ministry of your church, and instill in them humility under divine authority, that they in turn would honor and uphold the godly callings of father and mother in our land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son became flesh and healed the sick of all kinds of diseases and afflictions, demonstrating his power and giving us a foretaste of the resurrection on the last day. Have mercy upon all those in need of deliverance, especially Patty, Christine, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Ligia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, and Belinda. Heal them in your time and according to your good will, and preserve them in the confidence that you will deliver your people from all afflictions at the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, we are not worthy that you should come under our roof, that you have come to us in mercy. Grant us your spirit that we may receive your very body and blood in this Eucharist and be strengthened but for your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of hosts, your saints in heaven now know as they are known and comprehend the fullness of your love in Christ. Conduct our way through this fallen world to join them in your heavenly presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, we are bold to ask you, Heavenly Father, because you have made us your people and members of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
Thank you.
Which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, our Lamb of God, that take us away from
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptism and grace. Take, drink the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Part in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptism of grace. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptism of grace. Take, eat, the true body of Christ,
thank you.
rise, we continue the New Corinthians. And we beseech thee in that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Lord.